Good day and welcome to an International News Desk special. Whether you are tuning in on SL Podcasts at co.za, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or Mahi Kang 96.7 Game Time, welcome. I'm joined by none other than the genius himself, Mr. Kurt Buckerfield. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Shawnee. How are you doing?
I am world-class, thank you.
Not
really over the moon about Bafana's result with France. I don't think we could have expected fireworks, but what's your view on that, Curtie?
Sean, it was a complete mismatch, obviously. Now, we can't read too much into a game like that.
Yeah.
I do think that we should point out that it wasn't France at their strongest. It was a changed side. Karim Benzema was obviously missing through injury. And a number of players were rested for that game. But having said that, Mbappe was brought back into the squad after missing their first friendly of this international break against Ivory Coast. N'Golo Kanté returned to the lineup. But there were a few changes to the side. But they were stronger, they were faster, and they were really just superior in every way to South Africa. I think the one maybe positive that you could pull from that game was that regardless of how much pressure France put South Africa under, they kept trying to stick to their game plan and their idea. And, you know, they kept trying to play from the back. And I sort of appreciate a coach who doesn't, change his ideas regardless of opposition. So, you know, maybe that's the one positive. Ronan Williams was really good. He made a few outstanding saves, particularly against Giroud and Mbappe. But, you know, France were just superior. Mbappe scored a beautiful goal to open the scoring. And, boys versus men.
Yeah, and just want to touch on that quickly. And were you surprised? I mean, you say boys versus men. Are you surprised with that? Did you feel that we are further down the line that we are, or is this just a massive wake-up call?
Yeah, look, I think that it's hard as a South African supporter not to feel maybe slightly embarrassed by that result and that performance, because there was such a huge difference in quality.
Yeah.
And I think that that's potentially the most concerning thing, is that how do you close that gap of like individual quality, like breeding quality footballers?
Yeah.
So it's not just about their pace and their strength and fitness, et cetera, et cetera. It's just about the actual talent of a player.
Yeah.
So that's something that is slightly concerning. I don't know how that changes. So Hugo Bruce talks about, you know, it's a young team, it's an inexperienced team, which it is, of course.
Yeah.
But how do you change that around? How do you get the South Africa team to go to the 2026 World Cup? How do you get them not only qualifying for the next AFCON, but playing really well at the next AFCON in such a short period of time? Because, you know, South Africa aren't just inferior when you compare them to European nations. And of course, France are the best international team in the world. They're the world champions. But they are inferior to other African nations. And I just think that's worrying. We don't see many South Africans playing at top clubs abroad, playing in top leagues. So that's something that's concerning. But Hugo Bruce spoke about it. He said that he's not concerned about the result. A lot of the players said that it was an amazing experience despite what happened. But I don't think that there's much to feel encouraged by as a South African.
Yeah, and just quickly before we end off, you touched on Ronan Williams' performance. So bear in mind, this could have been 9 or 10. We were completely outplayed. And it is frustrating, it is disappointing, and it just shows that this is another 10 or 15-year plan in terms of development. And if we don't sort that out, you know, we can't be getting disappointed with results like these, because we're not really sorting out the core issue here. But let's stay in Europe. Let's chat about Barcelona quickly. The presence, as you briefly mentioned before the show, has discussed two new signings. He hasn't gone into detail who they are, but you, Kurt Buckerfield, know who they are.
Yeah, we do. So earlier this week, he touched on two things. He said that he basically ruled out a potential return for Lionel Messi, because that's been the talk for, you know, the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Barcelona players have come out to say that they would love to see him return. Sergio Busquets, Jordi Alba, Pedri, etc., etc., etc. But Laporta has said that it's not possible. And according to reports, at least, Messi has not really considered himself. I don't think that his relationship with the board is really good after the way he left. He felt forced out, and then a couple of months later, Laporta said that he felt Messi should have done more to stay. So that sort of stained their relationship. But then moving on, he said that they've agreed to new signings for next season. I don't know if you've been paying attention to Barcelona over the last couple of weeks, or at least since Xavi's appointment, but there's been a major upturn in results and their performances have been amazing. Of course, they beat Real Madrid 4-0 in that El Clasico a few weeks ago, where they were incredible. And a lot of Xavi's new signings have actually contributed in that game and have sort of been key players for him since they came in. So the club are obviously backing him, and they've backed two new signings. So Laporta said that they've signed a midfielder and a centre-back, but couldn't name them. But the midfielder is Frank Kessié, who will be leaving AC Milan as a free agent in June. An amazing signing, an Ivorian, Ivory Coast international. I think he's a strong midfielder who adds, a lot to what they have there already. In terms of strength, he's a good technical player. Very different profile to the other midfielders, and I think that's why he's going to complement the team. And then the centre-back he was talking about is very likely to be Andreas Christensen, the Chelsea centre-back, whose contract is also up in June. So Chelsea aren't able to offer him a new deal. I don't think that he necessarily wants one anyway. And there is said to be an agreement. So those are the two players, two more players coming to Barcelona, being brought in by Xavi. So it's quite exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. It just shows what sometimes all a team needs is a fresh face or some sort of new beginnings. And I think Barcelona speaks up to that without a doubt. Staying abroad, let's move to Egypt. We chatted briefly again before the show in terms of Carlos Queiroz leaving Egypt, which has a knock-on effect for our own Roger De Sar. What is happening there, Kurt?
Yeah, so after Egypt failed to qualify for the World Cup, of course, they lost again on penalties to Senegal under very dubious circumstances. I'm not sure you've seen those pictures of the lasers being shone on Salah's face. But anyway, so Queiroz announced that he would be leaving. He said it's time for somebody else to take charge. I think the idea was for Queiroz to come in and, get them far, maybe win the AFCON, which he got them to the final, and then to take them to the World Cup. They've unfortunately failed to do that, but that does mean that Roger De Sar is very likely to leave Egypt too. I spoke to him a few months ago, and he said that he was brought in by Carlos Queiroz specifically, and the contract was supposed to go up to December. So that was always the plan. It was basically a World Cup contract. That's exactly what Roger De Sar told me. And then he also said that he is looking to return home at some point. He said that he wants to live in South Africa. This is where he's happy. So he'll basically take it from here. But yeah, Queiroz's departure means that Roger De Sar too will be leaving the Egypt assistant manager role.
Yeah, interesting. Very happy for him that he went there. And obviously a great experience and a super nice guy. I'm sure we'll have him on this podcast rather sooner than later. Let's chat about Roman Abramovich and what has happened there. Apparently he was a suspected poisoning after meetings in Kiev at the beginning of the month as part of talks to end the war in Ukraine. Curti, what is going on?
Well, I don't.
That's crazy.
Obviously, I know much as much as has been reported. So basically, Abramovich and two other members of a negotiating team, a peace talks negotiating team, were believed to have suffered, the effects of potential poisoning. So I read that the symptoms included red eyes, constant and painful tearing, peeling of the skin on their faces and hands. And apparently those symptoms were so bad that Abramovich asked a scientist who was inspecting him whether he was dying. So quite serious, very, very serious, in fact. But it's been played down by a US official who said that the symptoms they were suffering were due to environmental factors in Ukraine. And then a Kremlin spokesperson has said that those reports do not correspond with reality. So, of course, we don't know the full truth, but very, very interesting. Abramovich is still apparently holding or aiming to hold peace talks with Ukraine. I even read that he offered to move some of his businesses to Ukraine. Wow. So, very interesting story, but one that is obviously still developing.
It's crazy. Thanks for that, Kurt. Let's just move on to something a bit more happy. Not if you're an Italy fan, though, but what is happening in the qualifying for the World Cup 2022? Some crazy results, some surprising results, Kurt. Anything stand out for you?
Yeah, so I think the biggest shock was Italy failing to beat North Macedonia.
Unbelievable.
In their first playoff match. So it was Italy versus North Macedonia, and then Portugal versus Turkey.
Yes, convincing win.
Convincing win for Portugal. They were excellent. It was actually some of the best football I think I've ever seen a Portugal team play. They beat them 3-1, and then Italy lost 1-0 to a last-minute screamer from outside the box.
And it's worth a crack!
Very, very unexpected result.
It's just astonishing!
But, you know, as everybody thought, everybody thought that Italy and Portugal would go up against one another to decide which team goes to the World Cup. But Italy not making that final playoff match obviously made it easier for Portugal, who were also convincing in their 2-0 win over North Macedonia. So, you know, celebrations for Portugal and Cristiano Ronaldo, Bruno Fernandes with a brace in that game. But severe, severe disappointment for Italy and Roberto Mancini, who, of course, took Italy to the, you know, made them European champions just last year.
Incredible.
Quite a fascinating turn of events there.
Yeah, that's why we love the game. Sweden, they're also out, am I correct?
Sweden, yes. They lost to Poland. I think it was 2-0. Robert Lewandowski, of course, on the score sheet there.
Wow.
And then, you know, some major African nations not managing to qualify, namely Nigeria losing to Ghana through an away goal, which would have been extremely, extremely disappointing. Algeria failing to qualify. Egypt,
South Africa,
of course. Egypt losing to Senegal on penalties. DR Congo losing 5-2 on aggregate to Morocco. And then Mali being knocked out to Tunisia 1-0 on aggregate there.
Yeah, I think the biggest is Nigeria. Hey? I mean, that's, I wouldn't say it's unacceptable, but if it's just, I think it is unacceptable.
Of course it is. I mean, that's a really strong side. I think that this Ghana team is probably the weakest it's been in years. So they'll be bitterly disappointed. And of course the fans were. I don't know if you saw the scenes in Nigeria after that game, but fans rushed the field. They were, it was just chaotic scenes. So I'm sure there will be massive consequences of that. But yeah, a very interesting week of football for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And Kurt, next week coming up, anything to keep our eyes open for, anything to look out for that you think might be worth scrutinizing or just keeping an open eye?
Well, not necessarily. I can't think of anything in particular, but it's a return of club football, so that will, of course, bring about some interesting events. But I think that's it for now, Sean.
Kurti, you have been an absolute diamond as usual. And that is how we wrap up the International News Desk for this week. I'd like to thank Kurt Buckerfield. Thank you, my friend, as usual. So whether you have been listening on SL Podcast or Tortilla Today, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, or Mikey King 96.7 Game Time, thank you for tuning in. I've been your host, Sean Robertson, and of course, Kurti. Thank you, my friend.
Cheers, Sean.
Nos.